You're tuned to 90.1 FM, KKFI, Kansas City Community Radio. This is Urban Connections. I'm your host, Donna Morrow Wolf. Our co-host, Ebony Johnson, is here in studio along with our guest, Bonnie Tolson, Dr. Bonnie Tolson. And she is returning to continue our discussion on a thoughtful way of living. The four agreements is what we are discussing, and we're going to discuss the second one, which I will let Bonnie introduce to you. But welcome back to the table, Bonnie Tolson.
Thank you. I appreciate being here with both of you today.
It's wonderful. It's wonderful to have you back.
Yeah. Thank you.
Yeah. And you wanted to start out with a poem.
I want to start out with a poem because sometimes we as human beings get very frustrated. Mm-hmm. And it's difficult for us to figure out how to move forward.
I'm frustrated right now.
Okay, great.
Things going on in our society are very frustrating.
Very frustrating. Yeah. And so we have all sorts of emotions that come up. Mm-hmm. And so this poem is really about that experience.
Okay.
Frustrated. Feel like crying and don't know why. Feel like running till the sun goes down. I feel like screaming my insides out to let the world know what it's all about. If I only knew.
Okay. That pretty much sums it up.
Okay.
There's so much outrageous activity. There's so much outrageous behavior and interaction and lack of reaction and misdirection of the truth. And it's just outrageous.
It is a lot going on.
A lot going on.
I was just reading a book called Why Normal Isn't Healthy. But what I'd like to go ahead and start with is the second agreement. But I want to just remind you of the first agreement, which was be impeccable with your word. Mm-hmm. Speak with integrity. Say only what you mean.
Mm-hmm.
Avoid gossip and all those negative conversations with people. So the second one is called don't take anything personally. Nothing's others do is because of you. When others say and what others say and do is a projection of their own reality, their own dream. When you are immune to the opinions and actions of others, you avoid and you won't be the victim of needless suffering. So you avoid that suffering if you do not take personally what others say about you in your presence and so forth.
So from a practical standpoint, Bonnie, how does one do that? How do you not
take it personally
when sometimes it is
doggone
specific.
It seems so personal.
I know, right?
Okay.
It seems so personal, and it seems that it's directed at you specifically. You know, Donna, your attitude's bad, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Ebony, you're too nice, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Well, how do you...
So one of the things in the book, The Four Agreements by Don Miguel Ruiz, says that you take it personally because you agree with whatever was said. And as soon as you agree, the poison goes through you and you are trapped in the dream of hell. So, and you all had a specific question I thought was very interesting because this actually answers the specific question that you just laid out. Even if a situation seems so personal, even if others insult you directly, it has nothing to do with you. What they say, what they do, and the opinions they give are according to agreements they have in their own minds. Mm-hmm. Their point of view comes from all the programming they receive during, he calls it domestication.
Okay.
And one might say training, mm-hmm. but domestication.
And colonization.
Yes.
Yeah.
Well, that's another level of domestication. Mm-hmm. Can you talk more about domestication and what is meant by domestication?
So what is meant by domestication is that we're all born into this world. If we're born in black skin, white skin, red skin, yellow skin, did I miss any? Any of those skins, there is a certain expectation, a certain cultural expectation that you fall into. And then you're going to have certain experiences, mm-hmm. particular experiences because of these. Now, this is in this country. Now, other countries, they have other things. Maybe mm-hmm. it's a religious thing. Maybe it's a sect thing. Maybe it's a
caste.
It could be uh-huh. any of that. Uh-huh. But in this country, it predominantly is, or at least the things that shine out, because there's a lot of things, right? Mm-hmm. It's a heterosexuality, it's women and men, and so it breaks into a lot of things.
Economics.
So what happens is we fall into a particular role, and we play these roles based on the skin color. If we don't play them right, the community, our family, the community, the broader community presses us into these roles. So we are who people say we are. Okay? They make us who we are. And so that is what's important, is to find out who we really are, because we are not who they say we are.
Okay, so you're raised in whatever skin you're in, whatever socioeconomic circumstances you're in, and you are taught what your place is, who you are, what mm-hmm. you're, where you are in the hierarchy of our society. Mm-hmm. That has nothing to do with the real who you are.
Nothing.
So you're saying that the mission is to discover who you really are.
Right.
But how do you break out of, how do you get to even knowing that that's what you need to do, except for programs like this where we talk about it.
Right.
But then knowing it, how do you break free from all that?
And so that's where we're trying to be, is mm-hmm. free, mm-hmm. first of all, mm-hmm. free from all of these externals, because there's an internal that is the reality for each of our lives, and we live from that reality if we get to it, and it's going to be different for all of us. So how do we break through it? What we do is we notice that there's some uncomfortable feelings.
Mm-hmm.
So our emotions and our feelings let us know that hey, this isn't working for me. Or let's say our fears. Mm-hmm. Let's just break it down. So fear, I believe, is anger, sadness, rage, depression, all of those things. And love is the opposite of all of that.
Mm-hmm.
So for me, my belief is that there are two basic emotions. That's fear and that's love. And so anything that we're afraid of, we begin to tackle. Like Reese says, you begin to stalk your thoughts. And so those thoughts that are incongruent, it feels incongruent inside your body, then you begin to question those and say, is this true? How do I know it's true?
Mm-hmm.
If it's not true, what is true? And so now I'm going to go on a search. And for me, I read, I talk to people, I introspect a lot on things that go on. In the book that I've been reading recently, it's called Microaggression in Everyday Life, Race, Gender, and Sexual Orientation by Daryl Wing Sue. He is talking about those kinds of things that happen in our environment, right? He says something about environmental racism. He's having a conversation mm-hmm. about that and how the environment kind of sets us up, which is what we were talking mm-hmm. about right in the beginning, that we are born into, when we're born in these skins, mm-hmm. we're born into a certain way that we're going to experience life. And everybody's in a big drama, a big play, and we're all playing our part. And if you don't play your part, then you're going to get pressure to have you play the
right
part that you were supposed to be playing. Now, if you are uncomfortable with feelings,
mm-hmm.
if you're uncomfortable with your emotions and you don't want to feel them, then what's going to happen is you're going to stay, kind of your growth will be stunted.
Mm-hmm.
Because we actually have to. The feelings are like a guide to ourselves. and we actually have to feel in order to get to the essence of who we are.
And that's the difficult part.
For everybody.
Yeah. That's the difficult part.
Because some of the feelings we enjoy, and some of them we want to obliterate and just wish we can just X those out and never come back. But I do something that I've heard someone say that before, and it did resonate with me, that our feelings are a guide. And before, I hadn't really realized that my feelings were just see them as that, a guide. It's guiding me when something's off, when something, then I know that I'm not in alignment with who I really am, because when I'm in alignment, I feel really good. That's how I know I'm there.
True.
When I don't, then I don't feel good. You know, it's almost that simple, but it's complicated too, in a, mm-hmm. you know, in that way. What you're saying makes me think about the transition from childhood to adulthood, because as I pay attention to my niece and nephew, who are 6 and 10, and see them mimic and absorb everything we say and do, mm-hmm. and they take on beliefs and thoughts, and I start saying, oh, you don't really believe that, you just hear us saying that, and so mm-hmm. then you kind of took that. And the day that one day I heard my nephew say, oh, so they're white and we're black.
Mm.
He was asking that because we had talked about that.
Mm-hmm.
And I thought to myself, you know, that's actually not true. It's just something we've been saying, but mm-hmm. I've been so used to, yeah, this is how it is. But if that was true, he would have known that already. You mm-hmm. know, like the way he described his friends. And I think this was when he was in like kindergarten or first grade. And I forget what descriptions that he was using, but once he would hear us start talking about it, so he was getting the distinction between, okay, and I realized, oh, we're teaching you mm-hmm. that we are black and mm-hmm. they are white. Mm-hmm. You didn't really come believing that. This is something that we are telling you. And it really did something to me, because mm-hmm. I thought, my gosh, I'm almost going around acting like it's the gospel truth that we're black and they're white. And here it is, my nephew was trying to get it straight. Like, oh, okay, so this is how it goes. And it's amazing to be able to observe it
mm-hmm.
and then see mm-hmm. myself, you know, as well.
So, you know, one of the trending themes these days is that race is a construct.
Mm-hmm.
Race is a social construct. There's really no such thing as race.
Mm-hmm.
An innocent child knows that. That's mm-hmm. before they get polluted with all of our descriptions mm-hmm. and limitations, because, you know, that goes on and on and on throughout life, and then it reaches this point that this thing that just blows me away. I have a personal peeve about this. Black people don't mm-hmm. black people don't swim, black people don't ski, black people mm-hmm. don't, black women don't get the hair wet, black, mm-hmm. and all of these shackles that we place on ourselves and that other people have placed on us, and then we mm-hmm. agree with it, as you have said, Bonnie. Just, it's kind of debilitating in the long run, don't you think?
So it is, and mm-hmm. so that's why we are living in the world that we're right. living in now. So what's important to do is to, as I spoke earlier, is to look at our belief system, look at what we do believe, and if we don't, we're not worried about what other people think about us, which mm-hmm. is this second agreement, right? We're not worried about that, and we just live our lives in the way that seems most aligned with who we are.
Mm-hmm.
So that's what we're trying to do, is just be who we are, not who other people say that we are.
Mm-hmm. And we know, as you said, Ebony, if we're being who we are, when it feels right,
yeah,
when
absolutely.
It feels good, when
yeah.
you don't have any gut-wrenching feeling that mm-hmm. this just isn't
yeah.
me, no matter what the group thinks
mm-hmm.
about it. Can we take a break on that note?
Yeah.
And we come back, we'll continue our discussion with Bonnie Tolson on the four agreements. The second agreement is what we are discussing today.
Don't take anything personally.
You're tuned to 90.1 FM, KKFI, Kansas City Community Radio. This is Urban Connections with your host, Donna Wolf, Ebony Johnson, our co-host, and Bonnie Tolson, our guest. Stay tuned. We'll be right back after these messages.
Most times, KKFI moves against the stream, but just saying play KKFI to your smart speaker will bring our stream to you.
KKFI is the Kansas City area's independent, non-commercial community radio station. We seek to stimulate, educate, and entertain our audience to reflect the diversity of the local and world community, and to provide a channel for individuals and groups, issues and music that have been overlooked, suppressed, or underrepresented by other media. Interested in volunteering? Contact 816-994-7864 or go online at kkfi.org and click the volunteer tab. Thank you for listening to 90.1 FM KKFI, Kansas City Community Radio.
KKFI, Kansas City Community Radio, Urban Connections, with your host, Donna Wolf. Our co-host, Ebony Johnson, is at the table along with our guest, Bonnie Tolson. And we are discussing The Four Agreements, a book by Don Miguel Ruiz. And we are in the second tenet of that book, the second agreement being don't take anything personally, which, as we have said, is very, 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 very difficult. Go ahead.
It brings up for me this notion that it really isn't about you, you know? And we kind of can really, I mean, sort of, well, how don't they? It's like, well, if I'm really, really attached to this thing right now, I do, it is because I do think it's about me.
Mm-hmm.
And that this sense that it asks the question for me, then what is it about? You know, if we're in a heated disagreement, or I'm having a difficult time with something, if I'm agreeing with, you know, with something that someone else has said, and it's, I'm feeling all sorts of turmoil about it, then what is it really about? Is it about getting to that question about who I really am? Is it, you know, it, and I guess is that the same thing for everyone else? You know, we've had, there were periods where former President Barack Obama would ask, is this who we are? You know, as a nation, is this who we want to be? And it kind of, you know, it's up to us to make that decision. But a part of this conversation, it does make me think, well, what is this really about? And I feel as though a lot of times it's for us to give that, we have the part authority to give that meaning to a thing.
Yeah.
And sometimes we're looking for somebody else to tell us what it's about, or somebody else to tell us who we are. And we actually have the freedom to answer that question for ourselves, to be and decide who we really are.
We have the freedom and we have the power to do that. And that is very attractive.
Mm-hmm. So when we're born, we actually, as you were saying about your
My nephews.
Mm-hmm. We actually take on other people's beliefs.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
And so those are the things that we're fighting to hold on to.
Yeah.
Because when we're growing up, when we're kids, we believe everything that the adults around us say.
Mm-hmm.
And that is who we are. And that is really our foundational self.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. But it's not the true self, right? It's
mm-hmm.
just the one that has been built upon year after year. And so we hold on to that because Who would we be without that belief? What could we do without that belief? How far could we go without that belief? And so these are the questions I think we need to ask ourselves. And where do you want to go? Who do you want to be? And how are you going to get there?
Yes, I would like to invite our listeners to give us a call in the studio if you would like to join in our conversation with Bonnie Tolson as we discussed the four agreements, the second of the four agreements that Don Miguel Ruiz writes about in his series of books, and that second tenet being don't take anything personally. If you want to talk about it, give us a call here in studio. The number is 816-931-5534, 816-931-KKFI to join in on our conversation. So this freedom then to choose who we want to be is the ultimate liberation.
Ultimate liberation,
Ultimate liberation.
That's where we're all headed. Actually, I believe.
And then there's this part about it. If you start looking for who your true self is, that's what people call trailblazers and, you know, people who are visionaries and on the leading edge and all of that. You start looking for your true self, then sort of by default, you're rejecting.
You're an outlier.
You're an outlier and you're rejecting those foundational people who have taught you. That's why they get so mad.
So they feel like they're rejected, right? Because they made some assumptions. You still love them, don't you?
Yes, of course.
So they made some assumptions about what you're doing because you don't believe as they believe.
Right.
So this is the issue. Whether it's in our family, community, or broader society, you don't believe what we believe. So therefore, you're on the peripheral of what we're doing here, and you don't fit. And one of the things is that people want to belong. I don't care where you are. I don't care whether it's in the family, whether it's in the community, or the broader culture itself. People want to belong. And what's really true is that some people are not welcome. They are not welcome to the table. They are not welcome there. And so in the face of that, what do you do? In the face of that. And so this is why a restructuring of our minds is important, because what other people say, whether they welcome us to the table or not, whoever you are, whatever marginalized person you are, you've got to figure some things out to first of all, feel good when you wake up each day. Feel happy, because that's where I believe that we all want to head, only very misdirected and misguided as to what would bring us happiness. And so we have to look closely at ourselves and at what society says we are and who they say we are. And then that way we can begin to excavate our true selves.
Because we've buried it.
It's buried.
We've got a caller on the line. Caller, are you there?
Hello, yes.
You are on the air at 90.1 FM. Please tell us your name and what part of town you're calling from.
This is Sharon. I'm calling from South Kansas City.
Hi, Sharon.
Hi, how's everybody?
Great, thank you.
To the points that you were just making about moving beyond accepting yourself and feeling good about yourself, you were also talking about how then becoming a trailblazer. I just have to say, this I'm glad you're talking about this book. I love this book. And it, along with a few others, changed my life and changed my perspective as I'm looking at life. And I'm thinking right now about the differences, the standoff between our senators and the women who are standing up to say, we have been victimized by you and no more. And this is, you know, very current events. Where we look at a woman who decided, no, this is not about me. This is not about my weakness. This is not about my subservience. This is not about my role as interpreted by the minds of these men. This is about their wrongdoing, and they need to own that. And then other women have stepped up behind. All it took was one. Well, actually, it took a woman, and it took a comedian, and it took, you know, but these things start to fall in line once we understand that we then get this freedom to be someone daring and to do some daring things, because we understand this is your trip, not mine.
Absolutely. Absolutely. So once we see that there's a critical mass, then things begin to change. When one person stands up, because it's going to take somebody to be courageous to do that, and then it helps to encourage other people, and then they become courageous, and people say, well, why did all this happen right now? Well, it's time, okay, because the mass is here, and it's time, just like the civil rights movement, just like the women's suffrage movement, just like anything that goes on, has gone on, unions, what have you, throughout history, there was a critical mass. There was one person who stood up, then two, then three, then 10, then 100, or what have you, and then it moves, and it's time for this to move, whether it's women, whether it's gender issues, sexual orientation, race, it doesn't matter. It is time for all of these things, and we can look around. They're all in the environment. It is time for all of them to move and move us towards the happiness that we deserve as human beings, all of us.
I totally
agree. Yes, indeed. I encourage everybody to read this book. Thank you.
Thank you, Shan, for calling. 816-931-5534. 816-931-KKFI if you would like to join in our conversation with artist and educator Bonnie Tolston, poet, and somebody who is interested in, I think, reason and freedom of the human spirit. Would that be a correct
I think that would be correct, because we're not going to all think alike.
Yeah.
And I don't care if we're in the same group. We're not going to all think alike. And so we have to allow each person to be an individual. But if people are not allowing you to be an individual, then you take nothing personally. And be that individual that you are.
And I feel it's by, there's a spiritual group, a consciousness called Abraham, and it's ask and it is given, and with Esther Hicks and Jerry Hicks. And, and they, one of the things that that's said in the Ask and It Is Given book is that you couldn't be you if it weren't for them. Even the people that you think, oh my gosh, I so totally disagree with them. But when you're presented with what you don't like, then you're able to pivot and know what you do. And one of the things that they said is, when you go to a grocery store, you're not mad that they sell things that you don't buy, because you just don't buy them. You go and buy what you want to buy. Nor am I in the checkout line telling other people they need to take this stuff out of their cart, because I have no clue, nor do I care what they're cooking.
Or you shouldn't care, but some people care.
But you know, but in that context, when I look at it in that context of what they're cooking up and what they're making, then that's when I realize, oh, it makes it become more clear for me. It isn't about me, and I have the right to cook whatever I want in my own dish, and that all these other plethora of things serve to let me decide. You know, I have choices here. But something that you touched upon a little bit ago. In the context of freedom, something that James Baldwin said in his book, By Fire Next Time, is in order to be free, you have to be willing to free other people. And he said he knew very few people that really wanted to be free, especially in America, in the United States, because he said, you know, obviously we incarcerate. We're the largest, one of the largest incarcerators in the world. But it made me think of my own experience when I started questioning God and questioning what I grew up and believed. And then I was so liberated by what I started to find in these different answers, which were very different from how I grew up. And then I wanted my family to read the books that I was reading, you know, and hey, look, we're really so free. We don't have, and I thought it was the greatest thing ever. It's like, I mean, this has me up at 4 o'clock in the morning, like it's sunshine, you know, and I was so happy. And now it's a couple of family members that we kind of, the three of us made, are in that outlying shift of a space, and now we've blended together. But it was really tough there, because we were we are a really religious family and really hold to, you know, to our beliefs, whether we honor them or not. But it's like, okay, no, this is right or wrong. But I came to the point of, well, the same way that I feel this is liberating to me, I also have to let you be free and keep believing what you believe. Yeah. Not saying you now need to take on these new beliefs I have because I think these are right. I had to give that same freedom back. That if you want to keep believing that, you have every right to. It's not a threat to me or you. And I have a right to keep to go on with my newfound beliefs or my newfound sense of what's true.
Right.
You were leaving the mold. Mm. You were leaving the foundation.
Yeah.
Yes. So, you know, what we're having a conversation about really is fear.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Fear that you will move on. Fear that it would create a problem with the relationship. Fear that just a lot of different kinds of fears that they might have to change. And maybe you do have a point there. You were saying that some people do care about what you believe. And that is because they are afraid of what you believe.
Mm-hmm.
And also, sometimes people believe there's a game that is played that is, if you get something, then you're going to take it away from me, right?
Yeah,
okay. Right. So a zero-sum game is what they call it. It's like, no, yours is yours and mine is mine.
And let that be fine.
And one other point I want to make. There's a book called Escape from Freedom. And what it talks about basically is that if we're really not careful, we'll jump from one trap to another one. And I see people jumping. They free themselves from this trap, and then they go to another trap because we really don't want to be free, which is what you were saying.
Some guy.
We really don't want to.
Let's see. I think we've got a caller on the line. Caller, are you there?
Yes, I'm here.
You're on the air at 90.1 FM. Please tell us your name and what part of town you're calling from.
My name is Mahasin, and I'm in downtown Kansas City.
Mahasin, is that what you said?
Mahasin, yes.
Mahasin. Okay, tell us what your comment is.
Well, so didn't know you were on the radio at all. And I walked in the kitchen, this conversation's been held. And it's my conversation.
Okay.
And, you know, not that one thinks that they're in their own box, but you are.
Yes.
Because you got to come from that base of really believing in yourself and having the creator that works for me as my rock. And then I don't even, I let it go because I have to.
Right.
You know, and all these things, everybody talking, oh, this, and people, what people think, oh, my goodness, come on, we got to stop all of that. It ain't important. It's a waste of energy.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and it's possible. And I'm just coming to say thank you for you ladies for opening up this conversation because we have to teach our young children, our girls.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you got to, certain things you have to do.
Yep.
Putting the creator first. See? And again, just stay there. Believe it, good, bad, or indifferent.
All righty.
Well, thank
you. It's really kind of simple.
I think things are a lot simpler, more simple than we allow it to be. Thank you, Mahasin, for calling in and joining our conversation. Appreciate it.
Thank you.
We're here every Saturday, 4 p.m. to 5 p.m. All righty.
You know, like she said, things are simple. However, if we don't think about them, if we don't reflect, if we don't question things, we're not going to get to it. But it is simple. And then began to stalk our thoughts, as Reese says, and begin to change those.
Sometimes for me, too, it's letting things be. You know, like when you talked about for some of us, if we are afraid to feel our feelings or don't, you know, shine away from certain things, clinging to others, is really letting it flow. Like water seeks and finds its own level. Mm-hmm. And understanding feelings in that regard, that energy in motion, you know. And so allowing whatever energy in motion to seek and find its own level, and just to let this vessel, let it flow through. And it has its own divine intelligence, if you will, and it will fulfill itself. And sometimes when I'm okay enough, I pay attention to that, and I realize, you know, this whole thing just worked out. I didn't have to get all beyond beside myself and think, oh, I better go do this because it's not going to work out if I don't go over here. And not to say there's not, you know, there's a time to act and for everything. But as I'm becoming a woman, it is making me pay attention to, you know, this thing is going to work. It's going to work out. Mm-hmm. And even if it does, the things that don't work out the way I wanted them to, I can let that be too.
Yeah. It either will or it won't. And to be okay with that.
Whichever way it is. Not attached to the final result.
Yes.
And if we do not attach to the final result, then we're okay.
Mm-hmm.
And we're happy and content no matter what. And like you were saying, basically it's just get out of the way on some things.
Yeah.
Just get out of the way. Just relax. You've done all you can do. Now relax. You've done everything you can do.
Yeah.
Now relax. It will work out.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Bonnie, how do we make peace with our feelings?
Well, I'm not sure. First of all, for a while, it probably take a minute before we make peace with our feelings. But I think sometimes we put too much energy into how we're feeling.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? Because really, believe it or not, now this is going to sound really weird.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes our feelings and our thoughts are not our own.
That too.
Okay. Those are things that have been placed in us. And when we see a thing, we've been taught to believe and taught to feel this way about that. Mm-hmm. Let's talk about people who have biases. We've been taught when we look at a certain people, a certain group, a certain person, we've been taught to feel this way.
Mm-hmm.
Well, that feeling may or may not be true.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So we put a lot of weight on feelings, even though we should, because that is a pointer, that is an indication that something's going on that we need to pay attention to. So let's not discount them, but to say that they are the total essence and truth of it, the matter, they are not.
It's just a position at this point in time.
It's a position to look at. It's a pointer, and you just look at it and see what it is saying, because it's telling you something.
There are some basic truths. Like, human beings are human beings. You know, that is a basic truth. So,
However,
uh-huh.
Human beings are human beings, but they have that spiritual component,
yes,
you see.
They do.
So they are both spirit and both human.
Yes. Okay. So they are sentient beings.
And this is what I believe.
That's not necessarily the truth, right?
Because people have different truths.
People have different truths. But once you get beyond that and start ascribing characteristics to groups of human beings, that's where in the problem
and
lies.
Once you decide that you are those characteristics, that's when everything goes haywire, because we really are, and you've heard it a million times before, a spiritual being having a human experience. That's what really is going on. Now, this is my belief. Everybody don't have to believe that, and you can actually still get where you need to go without believing that. Okay, but if you believe that, then you won't take being a woman seriously. You won't take being black or female or gay or straight, or you won't take any of that seriously, because we're all this one spirit. If we believe this, we're all this one spirit. It's just one with different reflections, just different aspects showing up, but it's all the same thing. And what's interesting is, as we try to break things into races, it is a construct, and as we try to break things into races, there's a book called The Journey of Man, and this guy talks about how 150,000 years ago, there's this black woman who is the great, how many of her greats that is, grandparent of everybody on the planet. So we all have the same mitochondria, 7 point some billion or whatever, mitochondria, DNA, every last one of us, regardless of our skin color. So we are all related, whether we want to believe that
or not.
Or not. So that is what science has discovered is true.
So get over it.
Well, yeah.
I'm just saying, get over it. Give us a call here in the studio. We'd love to hear from you. 816-931-5534, 816-931-KKFI. If you would like to join in our conversation with artist and educator and poet Bonnie Tolson, she has brought a book here for us to discuss, and we're going to go through all four of these agreements in this series of books written by Don Miguel Ruiz. Can you talk about Don Miguel Ruiz and his belief system that he's writing about in that book, The Four Agreements?
I'm glad you asked that.
Okay.
He talks about, this is a Toltec system, and I'm just going to read what he says about this system. It's not a religion.
Okay.
It's actually a system of belief.
Uh-huh.
So the Toltec is where women and men of knowledge, this was a long time ago, they were scientists and artists who formed a society to explore and conserve the spiritual knowledge and practices of the Ancient One. While it does embrace spirit, it is most associated or accurately described as a way of life, distinguished by the reading accessibility, by trying to actually be happy and to love oneself and to love others. So this is just a philosophy. It's a way of being. It's not a religion.
Mm-hmm.
It's a way of thinking and perceiving.
Mm-hmm.
So that, because our ultimate reality is one of love, happiness, and peace. Mm-hmm. This is what I believe.
Otherwise, mm-hmm. what's the point?
Yeah, what are we doing?
Yeah.
One of the things that I think about when we're having the discussion on don't take it personally, is we're also taking on a particular judgment about a thing, and that judgment is just that, somebody else's judgment.
Mm-hmm.
It may or may not be the case, you know, like you're saying, it may or may not be the case, and by that I mean characteristics for certain groups of people. You know, oh, these people are lazy, oh, these people are this, oh, these, well, what's so bad about that sometimes? You know what I mean? Isn't it a time to be lazy? You know what I mean? Is it, or who's actually behind that propaganda?
Mm-hmm.
Is it the people who want everybody to work so that it benefits them? So then you don't want to be called lazy because that seems like a bad thing, but then you don't even realize there was a whole storyline behind making being lazy a judgment. You know what I mean?
So one of the things too is, so if we look at this as well. So lazy is one thing, but what about the word racist? You're a
mm-hmm.
racist.
Yeah.
Nobody wants to be that,
yeah.
right? And so it makes it difficult for people who don't want to be called a racist to even admit that there's some things going
mm-hmm.
on. There's some racist and prejudiced kinds of things going on, and mm-hmm. bias and intrinsic and extrinsic bias
mm-hmm.
that's going on in the world. And so we end up in denial.
Mm-hmm.
You know, certain segments of the country end up in denial. And so what happens is we actually can't get to the bottom of this as a group, as mm-hmm. a culture, if people are unwilling to look at themselves,
mm-hmm.
and they may or may not be these words. This is not this is not the point. But one has to deal with what is so, okay, and begin to explore these biases, these prejudices that we have.
Mm-hmm.
All of us have them,
mm-hmm.
okay? Begin to explore them and see if that's who we want to be.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. It makes me think about when you talk about getting to where we are, we have to start with honesty.
Absolutely.
Because we can't get anywhere else if we don't have it. And and being honest about a thing doesn't mean that that's the truth of who we really are. It just means it's who we've become, you know, in any given moment, based on, like you're saying, the beliefs that we've picked up, thoughts that we've held over a long period of time that's turned into these beliefs now. But it's an interesting thing just to really sit and be honest with ourselves, even as everybody, but I'm just saying specifically as us, as women at the table, just to be honest with ourselves about how we really feel about a thing, whether we, you know, not the things we think we ought to feel or think we ought to think based on certain beliefs or what have you, but to really sit and really understand what do I really think about this and be okay with that.
So one of the things is that things are under layers and layers and layers. Sometimes we don't even know that we don't know.
Yeah.
Okay, so this becomes a big problem, right?
Mm-hmm.
And so there are layers and layers of things that we have to excavate. And one of the ways to do that is not that we're thinking, is that we're being silent, is that we're using mindfulness. And some people call it meditation, which is religious, but the secular has a mindfulness conversation, which is being quiet. We're listening for what's so. And what we're going to find out is there are thousands of voices in our heads, in our minds, and they conflict, some of them. You know, they conflict back and forth. And so the top level, you believe this, but something in your head is saying that, right? So our job is to get these things all aligned so we can really know who we are, because there really are thousands of voices all over, and they compete. And sometimes we don't even know which one is us. And if they're competing, they're not us yet. So let's just go into silence and see who we really are. But let's not be silent about it. We must discuss it with ourselves, with other people. But silence is going to give you a whole bunch of information that you cannot get from conversation, that you cannot get from thinking, that you cannot get from, for you know, almost any other way. It's silence.
That be still and know.
Be still.
Be still. And that is where these answers that you were talking about earlier come from, that the things that you say ultimately work themselves out, and we've done all that we can do. Now we let go. Now you sit and be silent and let the result manifest itself.
Right.
But if we're never quiet, if we're never silent, if we never get into that space where we allow ourselves to just be, then nothing can happen
and
for
so
the good. Nothing can happen good.
This is also a practice. It's not something we do once a week or once every month. This is actually something we do on a daily basis, whether it's 5 minutes, 2 minutes, 10 minutes, 30 minutes, 20 minutes. It doesn't have to go real long, frankly. Some people think they have to be there for hours. You don't. You can actually get some revelations with just small amount of time. But it will begin to help you know who you are and who other people are and what you're doing down here. And one of the things we're all doing is being of service to others, but we're also loving ourselves as well, and we're loving other people.
Easier said than done. Talk a little bit about mindfulness or meditation and how you achieve it. What do you do?
So, many people do different things. Some people sit with their legs crossed and their fingers touching, you know, their forefinger and their thumb touching, and some of them, you know, I mean, all sorts of things that people do. I don't do that.
Okay.
I just sit quietly, and it's okay. It does not matter. You can go, so I'm not making a joke about that.
Yeah,
you can actually do that, but people think of meditation. When they say, somebody says meditation or mindfulness, it's that, and then everybody gets to judge you as if you've got some big problem, right? So, but all you have to do, you can sit quietly and or you can lay quietly. And what I do is before I get up in the morning, I just lay there. I don't think about anything. Close my eyes and just be silent for about 20 minutes. And sometimes it could be a little longer. And then you'll hear some epiphanies can pop up. Some inspiration, some idea, Einstein and others, when they had a issue, they would go to sleep. And then within their sleep, they would find the answer, because this is how our subconscious and this collective consciousness works. This consciousness that we're all connected. We're just one people. And all the ideas are out there. They're out there in the ethers and what have you. And if we can just be silent and know, those things can actually come to us and really help us to move towards the true self, the real self. And then when I know who I am, I know who you are.
Yeah. is all connected.
Yeah.
So for those of us who are going through conflicts with loved ones or conflicts at work or conflicts at church or whatever group it is that we belong to, and there seems to be this antagonism going on, it's never about whatever the subject of the antagonism is. I just wanted to bring that
point out. It's not about that. Right. It's really about you, right?
Mm. Is that what it's about?
It's about you because, as we said, I mean, our second agreement is don't take anything personally. So that means that what other people are saying and thinking about you is about them. Mm-hmm. And whatever you are saying and thinking about them is about you. Mm-hmm. Okay. So that being the case, we can go into that silence, go into that mindfulness, and see what that is about. Mm-hmm. But here's what I tell people. This is going to be kind of corny. Okay. But what I tell them is to love them. Mm-hmm. Just love the people. Just love them. You know, feel them in your heart. Love them. Wish them well. Just love them. And if we can get that far, we can actually get through the situation. Now, you don't have to tell them you love them.
Yeah.
You're just feeling this yourself. You're just working through this yourself. And you might get some sort of way or some sort of idea once this mindfulness goes on to actually have a conversation that will move the energy. And if it doesn't, you're not attached to the end result. So it's okay. And like you said, it'll work itself out. Mm-hmm. But if you are negative, you're still tying into the thing, right? And it will continue on and on and on. Mm-hmm. But if you can actually just back up a little bit and just be still about it. Mm-hmm. Don't play it around in your head like a broken record. Don't do that.
Because that's what we do.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Just be silent about it and move forward and be as kind and as generous and as loving to that person as you possibly can be. Now, if they're rude to you and they're violent, and well, no, you don't have to do all that, right? Yeah, just move away.
Yeah.
Yeah, you just get away. Mm-hmm. But if it's something less than that, then you just and kill them with kindness. It actually does work. Mm-hmm. It does work.
Ooh, that's hard. That can be difficult.
It does work.
People can be difficult to love.
And it's not about being fake.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And yeah, people can be difficult to love, and it's difficult for us to love ourselves, right? Mm-hmm. And so when we love ourselves, other people are not that difficult to love because then they have faults like we do. They have shortcomings like we do. They have great things like we do. They have wonderful things like we do. Okay? Because we're just all down here doing this thing that we're doing.
Yeah.
And trying to do the best we can.
Yeah,
or the best we know how to do.
Yeah.
Okay.
Under the circumstances.
Under the circumstances, whatever information we have.
Okay.
Sometimes and I want to say because, well, I was here last week, but Donna, since you're here as well, Sister Mashima Bet.
Yeah.
I just resting in peace for her, and I kind of thought about her. She shared some historical papers with me, just about our ancestors and various things, and I start really more and more start to marvel at, well, how did they know all these things? How did they, you know all this astrology and know all of this? How did they really build the pyramids? How did they, you know, just all this greatness that is beyond, just so beyond? And it just kept coming back to me, which this is been with me for a long time, but consistently over 7-10 years now. Be still and know. Mm-hmm. That's how you know. Mm-hmm. That stillness part, and then the knowing comes, but you have to first be willing to be still.
Right. Absolutely. And you have to also commit to knowing. Mm-hmm. To me, that's one of the first steps. You must commit to wanting to know and commit to knowing. Mm-hmm. And that starts a motion in the environment, in your world, in the spirit realms. Mm-hmm. It will start a movement that will bring those things to you that you need to know, and resources and everything. So you have to commit first.
Yeah.
Then you can know.
Yeah.
Do you happen to have another poem to share with us? You know, I know that's off the cuff, spur of the moment, but, you know, just in case, I wanted to give you space to share one with us, if you would like to.
Okay.
And this is from your book?
This is from my book, Naturally Nappy.
Mm-hmm.
And so this is our fear. This is about our fear. I'd like to leave on a different note, but, you know, this gives us an idea of how our fear has us be and do and behave in certain ways that are not who we are.
Okay.
A portrait of my friend. She was sitting with a loaded 38 on the arm of her easy chair, afraid, snagged in a mesh of fear, the future threatening, the past a familiar retreat. She spoke of her grandmother's pride in her Native American heritage, and she danced for me, looking like her grandmother must have. And I saw generations of red women and men in her bending knees. She sang, and her cadence raised that Blackfoot spirit within me.
Thank you so much, educator, poet Bonnie Tolston. You'll be back the rest of the agreements. There are two more agreements that we will be exploring from that series of books by Don Ruiz Miguel that Bonnie Tolston has so graciously agreed to come on and share with us and lead us in these discussions. Great. Thank you for the journey. Appreciate it every time, Bonnie.
Allowing me to come back. Yeah. I appreciate it.
All righty. And Miss Ebony, we'll be back here next week.
We will be back.
Same time here at 90.1 FM, KKFI, Kansas City Community Radio, the Urban Connections Program. Now, please stay tuned for Guess Who's Coming to Kansas City with MC Richardson.